Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Butina Kirkendall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Oh, when I think about his goodness, when I think about his grace, and when I think about his mercy, I'm in awe. You know, all you have to do is go to a faith file is what I always tell people. And I recently had to do that for myself. I had to go to my faith file tonight. Well, not tonight. Actually, since last week, but that egg started cracking, which I needed to help me get to a better, to get me to a place today of knowing who I am and whose I am. See, every now and then we need a reminder. Some of us, I'll be the first one to admit, I need a reminder sometimes of who I am and whose I am and who loves me and how he sees me and how much he loves me. And I appreciate that so much. You know, I don't start the show without prayer, so let's just go right into it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord. We give you the honor. We give you the praise, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your grace. But most of all, we thank you for your unconditional love. I thank you for allowing me to be used as a vessel. And even times when I get weary sometimes, how you remind me of how just and faithful you are to me. So I, in turn, will continue to be just and faithful to you. I thank you for those who are listening, whether it's here in the United States or outside of the United States. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the speaker that's coming on tonight, a powerful, anointed woman of God. I cannot wait. I thank you for how you have used her. Oh, I thank you for how you've used her and the person she is now. I thank you for those who are tuning in live right now. I ask that you touch each and every one who may be listening, whether it's live or on the replay. And as we move forward tonight, Lord, we're talking about not just any kind of love, but we're talking about agape love, unconditional love, how you loved us in spite of us. I know how much you love me in spite of me. I thank you for loving me in spite of me. I thank you for just caring for me even when I didn't love myself. I thank you for where you brought me on, brought me here now. And I thank you for allowing me to be a vessel. And as I move forward tonight, Lord, I ask you to decrease Butina, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in. Saturate. Take over, Lord. You be the pilot, and I'll be the co-pilot. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So I thank everyone who's coming in today. I see that you all are tuning in. As I mentioned before, my name is Butina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. And favorite is absolutely right, and I have to remind myself of that. God had to remind me of that. And it's so funny because we're talking about love. We're wrapping up our series on the subject of love. We talked about self-love with Felicia Hawkins and how self-love helped her where she started and where she is now. But no love starts without the love of God, of course, but then the love of self. Because if you can't love yourself, you can't love nobody else. Then we talked about relationship love, and we had the privilege of having Pastor Frank Henderson here and also his queen, Dr. Yolanda Jerry. And they really broke it down as far as having that relational love for God first and then within themselves, though themselves individually, and then collectively for the kingdom. And if you didn't get a chance to see any of those, please go back to my page and you will find those. And then after that, we talked about that type of love where for better or for worse, for death do us part. And that was Miss Denisa Burns. And she just put it out there how she loved her husband, how she met her husband, how she went through the trials with her husband, even up until his death, because he ended up dying. But there's no love no love. Of all the love we have, there is no love like an unconditional love. Now, I don't know about you all, but for me, it took me to a place. I had to get to a place to get to unconditional love. And honestly, I had to learn to love myself. And as of recently, I had to finally break that yoke and forgive myself and stop holding myself hostage to what the enemy was trying to destroy me with. And he came hard because, you know, the higher the level, the bigger the devil. Please know that. That's the way it is. And if you ever feel like something, you feel like you're not loved, or you get into this funk like I did, go back through your faith file. And that's what I had to do. I had to go back through my faith file. I had to go back through the times when I was ratchet. I had to go back through the times when the congestive heart failure, the heart attack, the stroke, the chemo, the infusions, the platelet shots, and now I got a new one that was put on me, and that's lupus. Another autoimmune disorder. But that's all right. I am finally at peace with it now because it's just another testimony to share. And for those who don't know me, don't know my health track record, I am nothing like what I've been through. I am nothing like what I've been through. So without further ado, I cannot get her on board. She is Miss Darissa, or I hope I said it correct, Darissa McAllister. And I came across her from mutual platforms that we have spoken on. I got a chance to hear her about a week ago, maybe a month or so ago. But when I heard her and I heard her testimony, whoo, I couldn't wait. So I can't wait to bring her on board. I want to present to some and introduce to others, or other way around, introduce to some and present to others. I want to make sure I'm giving her the correct title, but please correct me if I'm wrong. Ms. Darissa McAllister.
That's it.
I thank you for tuning in. How are you, love?
I am well, sis, and so excited. Honey, I am tickle pink to be here. You don't even understand.
No, you don't understand.
When you sent me the invitation, I was like, woman, oh, my goodness. I've been just so excited about just getting on and just chopping it up and just talking about our Father God. You know, nothing makes me more excited. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to do this today.
Yes. You know, what's interesting to me, I always tell people when I'm led to reach out, you know, I'm like, well, you know, he said, no, this is what I need you to do. I'm like, okay, I'll be obedient. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, pray about it first, you know, because you might not have heard what he told me. And, you know, and then if that's the case, then, you know, I'm like, okay, I didn't hear what I heard. But when you responded to me immediately, you was like, no. You was like, sign me up. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I love it. You know, our Father God, when he speaks to us, one thing I have learned in my knocking at 58 next month, one thing I have learned is he will never send you a message in a language you don't understand. If he's trying to get a word to you, if he's trying to give you instructions, I mean, what kind of God is he if he would give you, you know, you speak English and nothing but English, and he sends you a message in Japanese? That makes absolutely no sense.
Exactly.
He's going to make sure. If he wants you to know something, oh, trust and believe. Now, if you don't follow through, that's on you. But he made it crystal.
Exactly. So I just want to thank you for our coming in. Before I do, I want to thank all the listeners who are faithful listeners who have been tuning in. I'm excited because we're going on year three. Yeah, either end of year three. I got to catch up with it. I think I'm ending year three. But I started 2019. Let's start that August 11, 2019. So we're coming.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we're coming. You know, and it's been a growing process, and I thank you all for being patient about it. As I mentioned before, we're talking about the series of love, and there is no love like unconditional love. Mm-hmm. I used in my structure tonight, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that those who believe in him should never perish and will have everlasting life. Person you know, it has to be a love. That is a strong love to send your only child, your only child, to come down in human form, flesh, walk the earth, and then be hated on. They despise them. They criticize them, lied on him. They did everything. And through that, all that, he still bore the stripes for us. Now, personally, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if I could take that beating.
Speak the truth now.
That's why I'm glad he sent Jesus. I'm glad he sent Jesus. I'm going to be transparent. I don't know if I could take that beating. I don't know if I could. But, but then, don't we do that anyway? Just not in the same form? But we do it this anyway. The back talking, the tongue lashing, the lying, the misconception, abuse. Don't we deal with that anyway?
Yeah.
This, I look at you, my dear. I look at your testimony. And I said, honey, you have a testimony like no other. And I'm not downplaying nobody else's testimony, but yours caught me. I mean, it resonated in me. And I was like, what better way to end this series but with someone who exercises that? So if you don't mind, would you mind sharing some of your story?
Oh, sure, gladly. I would be more than happy to, because I realized that God has allowed some things in my life, and it took a minute to get to that point, because I was at why me, Keith, you know, but I have come to understand, and he has been patient with me in coming to the understanding that he's allowed certain things to happen because he needed me to share how he got me through, how he brought me over, how he never left me, even though it didn't appear to be at that time. Because there's many who feel that way. Even now, living through this pandemic, there's so many brothers and sisters out there now who are like, Lord, where are you? You know what? You can wipe this away. And so what's the problem? What are we doing here? You know? And so that feeling.
Exactly.
If you said you'd never leave me, you said you'd never forsake me, but yet it feels like you're so far away, you know, if in fact you just pack up and leave, or I have come to understand that my testimony is one to encourage people to just hang on, because it never, ever is what it appears to be. Everything ain't what it seems, especially when you're looking at your life through your carnal eyes. I've been known and tagged as that perception chick here on, you know, in these internet streets. I'm the perception chick because I'm here to help you see your life through God's eyes. So a little bit about my testimony of, I, at a very young age, in retrospect, I look back and I see where my God brother is a pastor, and he always says from the pulpit, you know, the devil done messed around and looked in your blessing bag. So he's after you. I believe he looked at my blessing bag a long time ago and saw what God had in store for me, because that bad boy had been on my tail for a long time. It's like he just kept lying. Lord, why you allow this? I mean, you know, I mean, big things. I have been molested. I was in grade school. I was raped when I was in college. My father was murdered during church service. Shot by the pastor from a pulpit on Super Bowl Sunday '83. You know, and I'm a church girl. My mama played piano. My mama started playing piano when she was five. She taught all of us to play instruments. I come from a musical family. I'm a theater baby. I was born with a mic in my hand. That's how I'm wired. So I come from a family. Even now, I've got nieces and nephews who are in the business, and it's just that's what we do. And so my life, I thought, was going to be, you know, very simple. This is what I do. I'm going to sing. I'm going to act. I'm going to do this. And life is going to be simple, because it appears that way. Never in a million years would I have thought that the detours and the pit stops and the lion's dens that I have been thrown in would be my part of my testimony. Because the question is, Lord, why? I mean, why? I'm not that hardhead kid. I'm not that, you know, there's a lot, you got a lot of children running around this planet, but I'm not one of them. I go to bed every night, even at 57, both my parents are gone now. Mom went on to glory 3 years ago, but I'm still that kid. I'm still that daughter who wants to go to sleep and make sure my mama, my daddy, and my God are proud of me. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm far from it, trust. But I'm just saying my intentions are like this. So why did you allow this? I'm having a lot of Job moments. And I have come to realize my favorite scripture is Romans 8:28. For we know, and let's put a comma right there, we know. We don't ponder. We don't debate. We don't, you know, have to think about for a long time. We know. There's a confidence in saying the next words. And the next words are, that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And it's that all that I emphasize in my testimony, because that all means everything. It encompasses the good, the bad, the ugly, the uncomfortable, the unjust, the unfair, all of that. It doesn't say it's going to be good. It says it will work together for good. That, there's a difference. There's a difference. And so when you think about that, and when you find yourself in a place of, God, why me? And don't you love me? Because you are God. You are the poster child for love. So what is thing that you are allowing to go down in my life? I don't understand this. I have sat in the middle of the bed on many a night in different seasons of my life where I felt abandoned. And that was a really, I can't think of a word beyond difficult, but let's just say a difficult time, because I come from a family, I had my mom and daddy, and I had the best, to me, the best mom and daddy anybody could ever ask for. And so I understood love. I understood love in the household. I understood what it was like to never feel like, you know, your parents were dissatisfied with you or didn't want you. I don't, that's not my testimony. I don't know what that feels like. I come from a place of love. This is how my parents always displayed to me, to others. So to have that feeling from God, and to think for a moment that he had forgotten about me, was beyond disturbing. You know, because I'm like, I don't understand you, because you're God. And so why do I feel this way with you? When I remember when Daddy first got killed, of course, there was an anger. I was a month short of my 19th birthday. And I remember distinctly, it was as if somebody took a cloak and just put it over my head. That's how I felt. I felt like in that moment, those four bullets rang out. Daddy called all four of them. I remember I felt like my whole person had just morphed into this thing. It was like a dark cloud. At that moment, I tell people, when you have trauma and tragedy come in your life unexpectedly, and that was totally unexpected, this thing happens. The person you were a second before it happened, you will never be again. You will never be again. You cease to exist as that person at, you know, if it happened at 4 o'clock, okay, 3:59 was the last time I was Jerusha. You understand what I'm saying?
I hear exactly what you're saying.
So if you figure for these past years now, I've almost mourned that girl that I would have been. I had to come to the knowledge that God never left me in that time, even though I felt like he did. My father loved the Lord. Oh, my goodness. That man loved Jesus. Good Lord. He loved Jesus. So I could not understand for the life of me why he would allow something like that to happen to him and to take my father. Yeah, I could pick 100 zillion people that you could have plucked up, but you chose him? The one that 24/7 trying to serve you? I don't get it. So love seemed to, for a moment, I didn't equate God with love. Because where do they treat
like
people they love?
That.
Yeah. And I remember, mm-hmm. you know, some years has passed, and there was a scripture that I had heard many times before, but I guess it was the appointed time for me to get a new understanding and to change my perception and start looking at my life through God's eyes. And that was, again, in Romans. I don't know what it is about Romans 8, but that whole
That's a good book. That's a good book.
Honey, I can live right up in that thing. So Romans 8, 38 and 39 goes on to say, "For I am convinced," and I love that word, convinced, "that neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation." And let me pause for a minute, because there is a comma there, so I'm going to take the moment to say, when we talk about anything other, that includes myself. That includes Darissa Elaine.
Yeah.
"Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And it was something about, something happened that day. I'm like, I never seen that part before. You know, it was like a new understanding.
Yeah.
And let me also put this down. Let me say this too. I had asked the Lord. I got to a moment of frustration and surrender. It was something about saying, you know what, and the reason for the surrender, I'm just tired. I'm tired of trying to figure this out. I'm tired of being mad at you, you know. What do you want from me? You know, I was in my early 30s, you know, but I had carried it around for almost 20 years, you know. And I was surrender. And it was like he just took the scales off my eyes. You know, and it was just something about nothing can separate me from his love. Even the incident on Super Bowl Sunday, he made me. He knew I was going to get mad. He know how he wired me. He know I can be out here in these streets acting a fool. Because in my 20s, that's what I did. I was angry. Mm-hmm. I did things I know good and doggone well my mom and daddy would not have been happy with. Just my whole attitude was wrong. Just wrong. And he said, "Okay, this time for you to slow your roll. So this is what I'm gonna do for you. I'm gonna show you why I allow this, that, the other. Because you one of them show me people. I can see. I can see right now. I'm gonna talk to you a different way." So he began to speak to me in my language. He began to show me in the situations that were going on in my life that I've been here the whole time, but you've been mad at me. See, you've been walking around with an attitude. You know, like this, and he had to show me that just like you can love on your parents, you need to know that I love you even more than they ever did. And I learned that lesson, because even to this with my children, every night with my daughter, I have a daughter who is nonverbal and non-ambulatory for now, so God says something different. She'll be 22 in June. But every single night, without fail, we say prayers, and it's good night, Mama. Love you, but Jesus loves you most of all. Because I don't ever want her to wonder. I don't want her to ever wonder. You know, God has shown me that in spite of my flaws, and in spite of my miscomings, you know, that He has never left me. And there was a time that I thought that He was just mad at me. And he was mad at me. That's why he let those things happen. And nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. He loves me so much that he takes the time to allow things that will get me to where he's trying to get me. And that my life is not my own. My life is not my own. The thing is for me to use. As far as, you know, out here in these internet streets, we use the word stories. You know, people telling their stories. So your stories, your testimony, whichever word you prefer. But the point of it all, you are not to take your experiences, and especially in the area of your experiences with Him, and when you experience His love and how grand it is, and how you are to share that. Because it seems to me, especially in these days that we live in now, that the only thing that is going to reach those who feel unreachable and for those who are still doubting if he exists. The only thing that's going to make that crystal clear to them is displaying the love of God. And what I have learned, everybody's experience with love is different, you know. I had a certain foundation, so my expectations of who a father was and how he loves is probably going to be different from Sally Sue over here, because maybe she had an absent father, maybe her dad was in her life, or maybe she had an abusive father. So I have, God has taught me that people's understanding a lot of times of who God is and how he moves is based on their earthly father. And so you keep that in mind. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of keep that in mind when you are sharing your story. Everybody's experience is different, but we are to plant the seed, and God is going to give the increase. You know, he's going to give the increase. So our job is to share what we know. And so I make no bones about it when I tell that I thank God I've never gotten to the point where I said there is no God. That's pure blasphemy. I've never gotten that mad. I've been mad at him, you know, for allowing certain things. And even in that, I say, wow, I mean, he's showing agape love even then. Because, you know, quiet as a cat, God could have made a decision a long time ago, right after Adam and Eve, and said, you know what?
Yep.
Exactly. I don't know about this right here.
Exactly.
I don't think this will work out, because they already starting off wrong. They coming out the gate wrong.
Already wrong.
Right. You know, he was well within his right to do that, but he didn't.
Yes.
And it went on so long, to the point where, like Sis said earlier, he sent his only son. I don't know about y'all. I'm a mama.
Only.
I don't even like nobody looking at my child crazy.
Exactly. But, you know, it's interesting. I didn't mean to interrupt. Dorissa, is even before he sent his son, he said he tried to give us a chance. I'm talking man. And he sent Noah to build the ark, and he flooded the world. Okay,
right.
So that's the second chance he then gave us, okay?
Right.
So now I tell people the Old Testament is nothing but truth. And when God told you not to do something, he punished you immediately. You was done. Ain't no coming back. He not only gets for you, sometimes he went for everything that was surrounded around you because he don't want no root.
That's it. You got to put it all up. That's it.
And plug it all up. And I remember my son say, oh, I see salt. Wasn't there a lady that turned into salt in the Bible? I said, yeah. I told her not to look back, and she did. And guess what happened? He said not to do it, and you did it anyway. But
because he's a man, he cannot lie. He cannot lie. He said he's going to do something. You best believe. I'm just saying. You be hard at it if you want to.
Exactly. It's one and done. One and done. But isn't it so awesome how you were getting into how he sacrificed? Because you're right, I'm a mother too. You thought I was sacrificing my child? Oh, no, we know that.
Oh, yeah. Not
I'm not
hard
doing
people down there on that thing called.
No.
I don't think so.
No,
when he was on that cross, when Jesus was on that cross and they, you know, whipping him, talking bad about him, still lying on you. Got him. You got the man that's saying he's dying, and you still treat him like he a dog. You know, I just even imagine that. And then, while all this is happening, his mother was right at his feet, so she watching the whole thing.
And she's not saying nothing.
Oh, Mary's a good one. Right? I said Mary's a good one.
Oh yeah,
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, she better than me. But you know what's interesting? Right. Throughout all that, he was not saying one word because he knew if he opened his mouth.
Yep.
Them leaders, look, them angels was waiting. They was waiting.
Exactly.
Just
Mary
give us the word.
That's right. And she understood her son's assignment. And like I said, that says a whole lot about Mary. It says a lot about the love she had for her son. She recognized him as Savior, but also that was her baby. She birthed him.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to even understand that, That yeah, that just goes. That's so much. That's just so much. Yeah, she's
a lot. That's a lot.
Oh,
you know when Gabriel came to her and told her she was gonna have a baby.
A baby,
and she was like, oh, you know, I'm not married or nothing, but okay, I'm gonna trust you, Lord. You know,
but
you have that baby.
So
that baby, huh?
Yeah, that took so much. And she was a child herself, when you think about it. I mean, she was a
woman
from the standard. But age-wise, we would call her a child. You know, I think she was, what, 12, 13 or 14 or something like that? She was young. Really
young. She was
young.
She was young. Yeah, to go through all that, then to have that baby grow and mature inside of you, and then you give birth to that beautiful baby, and then to have him on the cross.
To have him on the cross, it's like he came here in a political battle, because we got to remember,
right?
All the babies 2 years old, you know, he came here with that whole decree in full effect.
That's right.
You know, again, to carry your baby, knowing he's in danger from the gate, from the beginning, you know
exactly
your baby's
in
danger. That's a lifetime movie right there.
You ain't lying about that. But then, exactly. And then, but then when we think about what has happened with us, you know, I listened to you with the molestation, with the, you know, the murder of your father, your mom, you know, just so much. And how, when I'm talking to the Darissa now, is definitely not the Darissa from back in the day.
I
just want to encourage people. Yeah, I want to encourage people. Yeah, we go through stuff. We go through stuff because we always ask that question, why? But there's an assignment, all sent here for a reason, and there's an assignment. And Darissa, when I hear you talk about you weren't always perfect, I mean, I don't think none of us was that way. I was just telling my son tonight, there's only one person, perfect person that walked the earth, and that was Jesus.
Come on.
And he gave himself up for us unconditionally, loved us unconditionally, sacrificed himself. So now we're here. Oh, please go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, now we're here. And we take it for granted. We take them for granted. You know, I'll be the first one to tell you, yes, I'm a survivor of molestation. Let me tell you something, sister. Ratchet had my picture right there. Ratchet. Because I was mad. I was angry. I was bitter at God. I was bitter.
Yeah.
I was bitter to myself and those who I felt like should have protected me. I was just bitter. And I used it as a crutch to do whatever I wanted to do.
That was your way of lashing out, you know. No, I totally get, you know, what you're saying. My first solo book that I wrote, you know, was the Embrace Formula, 7 Steps to Silencing the Enemy and the Inner Me. And I wrote that because, like, again, looking back, hindsight, I can see where God started teaching me then. But I was, you know, I didn't get it. I wasn't getting it. So he had to give me, you know, I had to repeat the 7th grade a couple of times. You know,
I understand right there with you.
Yeah, he had to kind of show me in different ways. And it wasn't that he was delivering the message wrong. It was I refused to learn the lesson. It was on me. So I'll take full responsibility for that. And it wasn't until Mom started showing signs of Alzheimer's. And I kind of switched some things along in my life so my mama could be with me. I don't do the nursing home thing. So, you know, I thank God. I mean, if it had to be, I thank him for allowing me to be able to just love on my mom and live with her, live out loud for 10 and a half years, just, you know, until I held her hand, she went on to heaven, you know, and it was the most beautiful thing. There's no regrets in that. But what God showed me in that
he slowed me down. Because I'm a road runner. I'm that A-type personality. I got 15 things going on at one time. It slowed me down where I could really listen to his voice. I always knew his voice, but it's kind of like, if I'm talking to you on the phone and I put you on speakerphone because I got 100 things, I'm listening to you, but I'm not really listening to you because I'm over here washing the dishes and I'm doing this and blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like that. So he slowed me down where I had no choice but to just sit.
That's right.
And listen. And this thing, being able to put it in book form so I could teach others that this is what he had me do. And it worked. That whole perception changing thing works. And it's such a simple lesson. And when I changed my perception, started looking at things in my life, and he told me, okay, now that you understand, you see that I love you, we need to do some work on you. I need you to give that same unconditional love to yourself. You are not dirty. Mm. You are not unworthy. You are not, less than. You are more than a court daughter, And I need you to see that. So I'm going to take you through a series of events. Now, put your seatbelt on, strap up, because it might be a little bumpy. It might hit a little turbulence.
Yes, it's going to be some turbulence.
But I promise you, when this is over, you're going to see what I'm trying to show you. And bless his heart. He talks a lot.
And look at you now.
Come on now, somebody.
Look at you now, girl. You are a diamond. And let me tell you, a diamond is only formed when it's pressured. First.
Come on with it. That'll preach.
It's only formed when it's pressured first. And, honey, you are a diamond. Do you hear me? You are a diamond. When I think about, I wish that we could get into all your testimonies, but we can't. But I tell you, when you went through that testimony of abuse, things just lit a fire in me. Because it showed me the strength of God and the strength of God in you. And it had to be his love to bring you because forgiveness is a chokehold now. That forgiveness thing is a chokehold.
Come on.
Especially when somebody done did me wrong. Woo!
Yeah.
You done broke my trust. Woo!
Yeah. But isn't that a wonderful characteristic of our Father God? Because he forgives us daily, minute by minute, second by second, because we got a whole bunch. My daddy said, you got a whole bunch of things to do right up in you. People got a bad case that can't help it. And that's what it is. We're human, and he knows that.
That's
he
right.
made us. So, you're right on point with that. You are so on point with it. You are so on point with
that. Thing is a chokehold. It's a chokehold. Yep. And you know what's interesting is when those roots are put in you, they spread if you don't take it out. And sometimes, if you could talk on this for a second for me, please. Forgiveness, how unforgiveness can be like poison that you're drinking. Yeah. You're so upset with this person, you're drinking poison hoping that they would die when you're killing themselves. But they're not. But it also affects your health.
Yes, Lord. My God.
Can you speak on that for a second?
My God. Well, I can tell you, the first thing that came to my mind, thank you, Lord, that forgiveness thing is real, y'all. You're doing more harm to yourself than you are the person that you so-called, hold this grudge or you're mad at or whatever. The man that murdered my father. Now, mind you, he was the pastor of the church that I grew up under. Daddy had just retired from it because we were Air Force family. And we had just settled here in California. And so for the years in between Daddy's retirement and Daddy's murder, this was the only church I knew, that in California at the time. So this was, my pastor. This was, as a kid, I'm thinking, well, I'm a teenager, but this is a man of God. So you can imagine the complete turnaround of feelings and of what that means to have a pastor, how that just disappeared the moment those four bullets rang out from that pulpit. My understanding of what life was and who people are. And all of that just, it's like, I'm so confused. What's going on here?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it was gone. And
so it went bye-bye.
I can say, I want to say just the hate, the rage, the having to sit through the trial, listening to, you know, that was my first understanding because I'm a criminal justice major, I'd have a year and a half of law because of that, that's what mm-hmm. I thought I wanted to do in my life. But it's the understanding of what goes on in a courtroom for a murder case and sitting there and listening to the testimony, people who weren't even there and character witnesses and blah, 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 blah. And it seemed like day by day by day, I was losing myself. I went mm-hmm. from this quiet girl to I'm gonna tell you how bad it is. I'm just gonna be transparent right now. I can tell you where I was standing. I can tell you who was standing around me. I can tell you what I had on that day when I said my first cuss word. I can tell you that. I can tell you, it's that vivid in my head because the rage that welled up in me that day and watching my father hang on life support. And blood just coming from everywhere. I can tell you, you know, if I allow myself to sit here and think about it, I close my eyes, I can tell you who, you know, because my father worked at the hospital where he passed. He also, you know, because he was in the medical field. I can just tell you. I can tell you play by play, which I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse to this day. But I know that forgiveness thing, I remember, let's go 3.5 years. Three years into the future after Daddy passed. And I remember I found myself walking around the corner because, you see, my pastor at the time lived 3 blocks from us. We were tight community. And so every time I would leave the house, there was this main street, and all the other streets ran into the main street. So if you leave Mama's house, the chances of you seeing somebody coming up the street before, because you all got to kind of merge into this one main street. So I would see this man, my daddy dead now, and I see this man every single day. Because he's out on bail. You know what I mean? Because he's a pastor. And so you can imagine the rage that grew over 3.5 years. I never will forget it. So I took some time off, you know, college, and probably not enough time. But when I say time, I'm talking weeks. I went back immediately. Mm-hmm. So I came home a lot.
Thank you.
Just to be with my mom and my sister. And I remember the day I walked in the house. Mama was at the sink washing dishes. She had this look on her face. And I just knew immediately something was wrong. And she just looked at me, and she said, "He's out." That's all she said. And I knew exactly what she was talking about. Now, mind you, just been 3 years. That's all he got, the murder of my father. And I just remember it was like fire just started from my toes. Mm-hmm. It just came all the way up my body. And I ran out the house, and I can hear my mother saying, "Dorissa, come back here. Dorissa, come back here." I can hear her clearly. I literally ran around the corner to that man's house. I don't know what I was going to do. I just knew. I've never told this. Wow, this is a trip.
Wow.
I remember I rang the doorbell, and her name was Sister Pascal, and I remember she was a quiet woman. Looking back on it now, being grown, I think some things was going on, but that's another story. And she opened the door. She opened that screen. We had screen doors where we lived, and she opened the screen door. So it told me right there. She wasn't scared of me, nothing like that. I just said, "Is Reverend Pascal here?" And he came and kind of budged her out the way and just looked at me. And I remember there was this feeling of, "It's now or never, Dorissa. It's now or never." And I just remember the tears. And we talking to oogly cry, just snot, tears, everything. Mm-hmm. And all I could say was, "Why did you kill my daddy?" And he looked at me, and he started crying.
Wow.
And everything that I felt in that moment it seems like my body just cooled. And it wasn't by choice. And I remember just kind of messing me up because I'm sitting here tripping like, what's going on here? Because I'm not feeling what I was feeling. I want to be mad at you. Mm-hmm. And all I could say was, I forgive you. That's all I could say. To this day, I know it wasn't me. I know it wasn't me. That's all it was. And I just kept repeating it. It's like the more I said it, the more he cried. And the more my body just seemed to just melt. It just, that's a good way to describe it. It's like it was melting. And I remember I walked back around to the house. Mama was scared to death. Mom, by this time, she was going up and down the street just looking. Because she's in the car. She's looking for me. When I said I took off. I ain't never ran that fast in my life because I'm not an athletic person, never have been. But that day, and I just remember that was the beginning of my healing. And whenever I would hear somebody, Bishop Jakes or somebody, you know, going forward, talk about forgiveness. I could relate to that word like I never could before. Because in my mind, I remember there was a revival with the church. This was a good 10, 15 years after the fact. I remember the pastor was talking about forgiveness, and he said, how dare you hold a grudge toward your fellow man when God is forgiving you like right now for something you did this morning. How dare you? How dare you? And I remember that thing hit me. Ooh, that thing hit me. That thing hit me. And I remember saying to myself, how dare I? And that's been my attitude ever since. And I will tell anybody, don't you think for a moment that you being mad at your sister, mad at your brother, mad at your daddy because he wasn't there, mad at your mama because she didn't raise you right because you raised your kids better, whatever the situation is, your boss, it don't matter. It takes more energy for you to stay upset and keep replaying that thing in your head. God ain't remembering what you thanked or asking forgiveness for just 5 minutes ago. He's forgotten it. He's forgotten it.
Yeah.
He don't hold grudges. He don't withhold his love and his blessings from you because you did this, that, and the other. And you know, like I know, you got a long list. You got a long list. If God Almighty can forgive you of your bowl and boxes of crap, surely, surely you can extend a little grace and mercy towards your fellow man when they do something, and 9 times out of 10 somebody do something, they don't even know they done hurt your feelings or did anything to you because they ain't thinking about you. They ain't thinking about you.
Yep. Nope.
You're not that important, boo. I'm just saying.
No. Boo, boo. No. You're not
that important. You know, a lot of times you find out, and then you're mad for so long, you can't even remember what you're mad at the person about.
Exactly.
You really can't. Go on and forgive them. Go on. Life is so much. I tell you, my life, that was the beginning. That was the beginning. And did I get it right overnight? No, I didn't. Do I miss? Of course I miss my father. Of course he didn't. There's so much that I feel he missed out on because he was gone. He didn't know his grandkids. No, there's a whole bunch of stuff. But the thing is,
right,
I look at where God has brought me now, and going back to Romans 8:28, I still say that the word is true. And I see how God used that thing and catapulted me because he used it for my good. I don't know what would have been different had Daddy lived. I don't know. I don't have those kind of psychic powers. You know what I'm saying? I don't. But
right.
I know he knows best. I trust that he is the God of everything. And and because my father was a believer, see, and how I understand death, you know, death is that threshold, that thing. If you a believer,
right,
you're trying to get to heaven anyway, right? So you ain't going to get there through your front door, your back door. You get there through the door of death.
Exactly.
So trust. My daddy's cool. He's straight. He's straight. I wouldn't want him to come back here to this crazy place anyway. I wouldn't want mama to come back. As much as I miss them, I wouldn't be that selfish.
Exactly.
I don't want them partaking in this mess. This is a bunch of mess. That's all it
is.
A bunch of mess.
Exactly. And you know, Larissa, when I hear it, the strength that it takes, this is a strength that comes from God. As you were speaking, I was just here, oh my gosh, her every forgiveness you was giving out, your load was getting lighter and lighter.
Yeah.
And lighter.
Yeah.
And lighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we are climbing Jacob's ladder, lighter and lighter, just going higher and higher, going higher and higher. And to have that weight lifted off you. That's a beautiful thing.
It's
almost
sure
as if you mean to tell me I could have been living this life a long time ago.
A long time ago. Yeah, that's about 15, it's about 15, 17, somewhere around that year. But I'm not going to say they wasted because he was teaching me something. Because I can
look back
hard-headed and just didn't get something. Doris, you could have got it a long time ago. Well, maybe I could have, but I didn't. So now I got it even better. You know what I'm saying? Again, it's like repeating grades.
Not only that. But it shaped it and molded you. You was on that that potter, the clay on the potter's wheel. You were being, you were a diamond. You was going through that pressure. You was going through that pressure. But when it was time for that diamond to be produced is when that forgiveness, when you forgave. I have someone who made a comment that talked about, you know, that unforgiveness could be like a venomous poison, and thank goodness for his forgiveness and mercy, for he knows our innermost, deepest secrets as to why we do or think the way that we do, and you're right. And it's through him. But I have to say, I definitely commend. It's a hard thing, but necessary. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you become on doing it.
Right.
Does that make sense? You know,
it makes
becomes
a whole
more
lot
comfortable
of sense.
Because you're at this point now, you're 57? I'm 51. I turned 51 on Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God, brother's a Valentine baby, too. Yeah, I'm a first year spring baby. First spring is probably 58.
But we're in the 50s, baby, so we're fabulous, fierce, and all that, and favorite and all that. So,
honey, and we ain't finished yet.
Yes, honey. Honey, we just getting started. We talking about
right.
Look, we done went through the testimony stages. You know, well, we still going through, but I'm talking about to get us to this point. Now we about to really roll. Okay, Lord, hey, you got me. You got my attention. Hey,
that's
I'm ready to roll. And that is something that you are doing. You took your lemons. You added some sugar. You added some water. And now you've made lemonade. So let's talk about where you are now. What all of this has transformed to. You mentioned that you did a book. How many books do you have?
I have 3 books, but my signature book is The Embrace Formula, you know, that breaks down how to silence the steps, 7 steps to silence not only the enemy, because he's always in your ear. That's just what he do, you know, and but also the inner me. And I know in my life, the inner me, I think I was probably in my own ear more than the enemy. I mean, he might just plant the seed, but then I would take the seed and run with it. I'd do all his dirty work for him, you know, by just repeating the lies, because he is the prince of lies, you know, and about myself to myself. To the point, I remember the day Mama was still here. I remember I was in the bathroom. I went in to wash up because I was going live that day. And I was brushing my teeth, and I remember glancing up at the mirror and quickly looking down back in the sink. And I was like, why did I do that? And it dawned on me, I never look at myself in the mirror. It had been years. I mean, of course, in passing. You put your clothes on and kind of in passing.
No, I get
but,
it.
You know, they stand in front of the mirror, and I cried because when I tried to force myself to do it, I couldn't even do it. It's like, wait a minute. I have these self-discovery moments that can be just earth-shattering sometimes. It's like, okay, this is too much. I can't take this. I got things to do, you know. But I just realized that I had done so much. I was doing the devil's work for him. He didn't have to stick around, you know, with me and talk about anything. He could have one conversation, plant one seed, and for the next 20 years, I'm repeating that thing's on repeat in my head. Thanks to me. So, you know, it's just getting to the point where you take what you say and believe about yourself, and you put it up against the truth, which is what God says about you.
That's right.
Because that's what you really need on repeat. That's what you need. That's how you silence him and yourself when it comes to the stinking thinking and the negativity and all of that good stuff. And that and a lot of it is not forgiving yourself and repeating the lies that keep you stuck in the things that you aren't releasing and forgiving yourself for, that God has forgiven you along. I mean, he's not even bringing it up. You keep bringing it up. You keep
right.
bringing it up. He's forgiven you. So just learning how to do that, and in that process, I have been, number one, allowed to share my process out loud. I would go live every day for 3.5
mm-hmm.
years straight. I never missed a day. And just living out loud, my mom and myself, and I didn't realize that the Lord was preparing me for a childhood dream, because
mm-hmm.
I had kind of let that go. Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and I'm a stay-at-home mom now, and God has allowed me to be able to be here and care for my mama. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, that ship has sailed. And then lo and behold, I mean, when I say he will bless you beyond your wildest dreams,
yeah,
just because you release and forget and put things in a nice little neat box and tie it up with a ribbon and shove it under the bed somewhere, he doesn't necessarily do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been preparing me, little did I know, for, you know, opportunities that I didn't even see coming. People that, I'm going to say a year and a half ago, I knew their name, but I didn't know them. And now we, you know, we're
right.
girlfriends. We're talking on the phone every single day, chopping it up. You know, today, one of my CEO's birthday, she called me one day and said, I got an opportunity for you. Just out the blue. Just out the blue.
Nice.
I knew her name, but I didn't know her,
mm-hmm.
you know. But how God
will you
will
think
use...
people are not paying attention to you, Sister Darissa? Paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're paying attention. Will you think they're not paying attention? They paying attention.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's obviously true.
They paying attention.
I was floored.
So,
and I was like, is this for real? I don't think this is real.
Yes. But you deserve it. You are a phenomenal woman. I just got to interject. You are a phenomenal woman. Oh. When
to God
be
the glory. Thank you, sir.
Listening to your chat, you because you're in, you have a radio station, not radio station, a television station.
Yeah.
You have books, you have live podcasts, you have, and you've been on platforms like it's nobody's business, and you got a billboard hanging up off of I-20. So all the blessings from everything that you've gone through. Everything you've gone through, look how it's manifesting. Look how it's manifesting. And he will send people you don't even know to come and bless you.
Amen.
What will separate me from the hands of God? Not death, not life, no nothing. But even though you've gone through, you went through the trials, you went through the tribulation, then you sought forgiveness. Then you started healing. That's when the healing began. And you released it. You know, you release,
mm-hmm.
and there is something about that releasing. When you release, God says, hey, now you ready. Now let me step in and be like, now listen, this is what I had waiting for you, but you have to do it, you have to do it, but now that you have, let's move forward. Because he don't stay stuck either. He don't
Amen.
Stay stuck. So I appreciate
Amen.
The fire, the zeal, and everything you have. I knew that this 60 minutes was going to go fast. So what I'm asking you to do, you got 30 seconds for me just to give someone nuggets, a nugget of wisdom to lead them with.
I would say God loves you. He loves you with unconditional love, and he forgives you for the things that you can't even imagine are forgivable. And that's just it. Don't rely on your own understanding. This is where your trust and your faith comes in, that he is who he is. That faith is that thing you can't see. And sometimes it's that thing you can't comprehend. You just going to have to lean
uh-huh.
in, baby, and trust that he is who he is, and he says he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And that's love you. Love you, love you. He can't do nothing else. He can't do nothing else.
Nice.
That's who he is. He is love. He is love.
That's right. Unconditional agape love.
Yeah.
What I would like for you to do for me, because I have people that are chiming in, they're leaving messages and stuff, but they listen to the replay. And I would love for you to leave your book. They wanted to contact you, how they will contact you, because like I could go 2 hours for you, probably longer than that,
but time is not allowing me. But I would love the opportunity to have you back again to share.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Anytime.
Definitely.
Girl, honey, you got my number. We sisters. You can ring me up anytime. I'm there.
Well,
I appreciate you
for coming.
I really do.
And I thank I love you. Thank you all for coming. Just remember, if you don't catch it, send it to thank you for those who share. Remember that I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.
Mm-hmm.